think I was saying about children have more toys than the 10 years old. They have
over 300
items, toy items.
On average.
And they said they don't, the kids don't even play with them.
Yeah.
I don't think I had 20 toys at 10.
Yeah, we only had a few.
Yeah.
And they're handy down.
We didn't play with toys. We're always outside getting in trouble with those cabs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord, as this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We often commemorate the lives of those who have gone before, those who have faithfully finished the race. And this morning we commemorate two such faithful servants of the Lord. The first was martyred on July the 16th, the year 1972. Private Ivan Moiseyev was executed by Soviet agents because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because he led many other Russian soldiers to faith in Christ. The other one is one of our own. Brother Bob Klotz went to be with the Lord about 6:30 a.m. this morning. He celebrated his 89th birthday last Monday, and this morning he went to glory. He faithfully served here for more than 50 years as one of our founding elders and played the piano for our hymns for most of that time. But he will be missed. He often illustrated, when he did preach occasionally, he often used his trade as an electrician to draw examples for the light of the world. And he will be missed. So we will stay tuned for the funeral arrangements. Jonathan is in Texas until Thursday, but Debbie said that they'll keep us posted on the arrangements. This evening we will be in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 to 14. Because though King Asa was by and large a good king, he strayed at the end. He turned away from those things which he had practiced throughout most of his 42-year reign as king. And he and his kingdom suffered. We are encouraged to trust in the strength of the Lord and not upon our own strength. Our strength, our abilities weaken with age. But the Lord is the Almighty One who never ceases in His power and in His strength. So we are encouraged to rely upon His strength, to finish the race, to trust in His abiding presence. And this morning, we are dealing with that majority of the King Asa's life, which represented a solid trust in the Lord, the realization of the promise of God that your work shall be rewarded. God is faithful. And in all of our trials, in all of our circumstances, in all of our troubles, and we can have that confidence, that assurance that He will hear our prayers, that He will strengthen us, that He'll enable us and keep us in all of our dark times, in all of our valleys, as well as on our mountaintops. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. The hymn is 696.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
We are missing another one of ours this morning. Judy fell off a ladder and is flat on her back with a bed rest order until Wednesday. So keep Judy in your prayers. But the Lord is able and He will provide. He's the great physician. And as Brother Bob was frequent in reminding us that we are in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. But we serve Christ who has already won the victory. And He has overcome the world. And we are reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in that spiritual warfare. So onward, Christian soldiers, the hymn is 490.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into
song. Glory, Lord, and honor.
Amen. And we can be thankful that our victory is secured by the authority and by the word, by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not dependent upon our willpower or our strength. We have been assured that He will finish that work which He has begun in us, and that He will enable us to run the race victoriously. All the way my Savior leads me. The hymn is 505.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith
Alan's going to read this passage this morning. It's 2 Chronicles 15, verses 7 to 15. But we do have needs before the throne of grace. And we're going to ask Tom if you'll open in prayer this morning. Remember, for the Lord's comfort upon the Klotz family, and also for healing strength for Judy. And also don't forget Jeanette Kastner in the hospital with COVID, and Buddy and Cecil are still recovering as well. So, many needs, but we serve a great God. So, please stand. And Tom.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our dear to help, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who are there. Pray you would be with them. We think of Cecil and Buddy and Jeanette and Judy. And we just pray, Lord, you lay your hand upon them. We thank you for Bob's service throughout all these years. We thank you for his inspiration. We know that he's home now. Pray that you be with the servant, Lord, and make us attentive. And be with your spirit. We pray that he's attentive, precious man. Amen.
Amen. Very enough. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 7 to 15.
Be stronger of Therefore, and let not your words be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, and when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about.
Amen. Please be seated.
Your work shall be rewarded. And this assurance from the prophet of God came to King Asa, as it applies to the faithful servant of every servant of the Lord. Every Christian can claim and hold fast to that assurance. Asa had come to the throne of Judah around the year 911 BC. He reigned for 42 years. And though most of his reign is generally described that he was a good king, there are cautions, even in the life of Asa, that we need to take note, that we need to be on guard for our own hearts and our own lives, that we stumble not, that we rely upon the strength of the Lord rather than our own philosophies and our own strength. As we grow older, as we approach that great day when we too shall appear before the throne of God to answer for the deeds done in the flesh. If it were based upon our own abilities, we would have no hope. But we have the assurance and the guarantee that it is Jesus Christ who has accomplished our redemption, that it is his robe of righteousness that we wear before the sight of God. Asa had heard the word of the Lord. He had resolved to depend upon the strength of the Almighty rather than his own military, rather than his own wisdom or his own leadership skills. And when they were facing an overwhelming number of the Ethiopian army, he didn't seek alliances with neighboring kingdoms. He called upon the name of the Lord, and they won a great victory. And Azariah, the prophet of God, the seer, had come to Asa and reminded him that God promises to bless those who diligently seek him and serve him, and that he will judge those who defy the word of the Lord. For the wicked, it will be a severe judgment. But even for the believer, the corrective hand of chastening will be that which gets our attention. And this is an abiding principle throughout the Word of God. that obedience and faith is rewarded with the blessing of the Almighty, but disobedience meets the stern judgment of God, the righteous judge. So here, Azariah had reminded King Asa that it had been a long time in Israel that they had suffered without the word of the Lord, without the teaching of the prophets of God. And some theologians debate whether he was referring back to that period of the 400 years of the judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Or perhaps he was referring to the fate of the northern kingdom, which was about to enter into captivity because of their willful disobedience. They were fairly early on at that point in 911 BC of the partition of the tribes of Judah. The northern 10 tribes had followed Jeroboam in defiance of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But not only had they parted politically, but they had turned aside into calf worship and adopted the idolatry and the pagan practices of the Canaanites around them. And for such, they experienced the judgment of God. He sent them prophets, but rather than repent, the northern kingdom had continued in their disobedience. They engaged in disastrous wars and were conquered. Eventually, they were exiled by the Assyrians. But this lack of learning, the lack of the reliance and obedience to the word of God was also a problem in the southern kingdom of Judah. There were times when even they had bad kings, that they were in a period of decline. Even less than 20 years after the death of Solomon, they began a period of steady decline that eventually ended in their own exile, in the Babylonian captivity. So God chastens those who are his own. He rewards obedience, and he judges disobedience. Even for the believer in the Almighty, there is a consequence of sin when we willfully turn aside from that which God has called us to do. When we neglect to do those things which he commands us to do, then there are consequences. Contrary to the opinion of some, we do not lose our salvation, but we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and we can experience a lack of peace and contentment and joy even in our own lives as we hold fast to that promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we can be thankful also in the glorious truth and the assurance that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Asa was commanded by the word of the Lord through the words of Azariah the seer, and through the prophecies of Azariah's father, the prophet Oded, to hold fast to those things which God had commanded. That law of Moses, which had been given nearly 500 years earlier, had been neglected. It had been defied. It had been disobeyed. But this was an assurance of God's blessing if they followed the word of the Lord. And Asa committed himself and his kingdom to doing the word of the Lord, trusting that the promise of God was right and correct, that his work would be rewarded, that the blessing of God would be upon him and his people if he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So, Asa took courage. He heard that exhortation to fear not, to be strong. That was the encouragement that had fueled Joshua's obedience to the Lord as they faced the difficult task of occupying the promised land and conquering those inhabitants which defied the Lord. And here, Asa needed to hear that same exhortation, that same encouraging word of God to be strong, to fear not. And we too need to remember that. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed in our troubles, in our sufferings, in our difficulties, in our trials and tribulations. But God has promised that He will be ever with us, that He will finish that work which He has begun in us, and that He will do His perfect will, that He will receive glory, and He will refine us through all of our trials, through all of our troubles, and prepare us for that great, glorious day when we shall see Him face to face. It required courage on the part of Asa because the entrenched establishment, the religious elite, those self-righteous ones who trusted in their own works rather than in the mercy and in the grace of God, they preferred to do it their way. And when Asa came along and demanded that they reform, that they return to the foundations of the principles upon which their worship and their life had been established, there was resistance, there was opposition, and there was hatred. But we are reminded that the Lord Himself said, "Because they hated me first, they will hate you." And He reminds us that He will be with us. He will strengthen us. That if God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes even in the matters of worship, though God has indeed given us His regulative principles of how we are to worship, nevertheless, there is often a shrill cry from some who object to reform, who object to the seeking of Scripture. They whine, "We didn't ever do it that way before." But Asa remained courageous. He remained strong. He did that which God called him to do. And thus, his work was rewarded. He reformed the worship. He returned to the foundational principles upon which had been established, the tabernacle and then the temple. The ceremonial sacrifices, which though they were not atoning in and of themselves, they pointed to the one who was coming, the one whose sacrifice would take away the sins of the world. And Asa returned and restored the altar outside the Holy of Holies. It had been allowed to go into disrepair less than 20 years after the death of Solomon. The temple itself was showing signs of strain and deterioration. But Asa resolved to restore it, to rebuild it, to make it as it once was. And this resolution prompted him to put away the idols, those things which had even in Judah been allowed to enter in, those corrupting influences of the Canaanites, to which the northern 10 tribes had already completely surrendered, even adopting calf worship in 2 locations. But Asa chose to separate himself and his people and his kingdom from the idolatry that had polluted the worship of God. He removed the abominable idols and he returned to the practices that were revealed and instructed by God's servant Moses. As a result, he saw prosperity. He recaptured some of the cities of Ephraim that had been taken that had been lost to idol worship. Many flocked to him, even from the northern tribes, from Manasseh, from Ephraim, from Simeon, and from the other tribes, as they witnessed the prosperity, the blessing of God that came upon obedience, the desire to worship the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many flocked to him. And when we stand for the truth of the Word of God, yes, there will be some who leave. There will be the defectors. There will be those who want no part of a worship of the true God. And yet, there will be others who come and who recognize the faithfulness of his people, who desire the fellowship and the edification that comes through the worship of the true God. And many made that journey from the northern kingdom down to Judah, up to Jerusalem, up the mountain, the holy mountain. And they came to Mount Zion to worship at the temple. And they served the true God. This reform that Asa instituted involved a commitment on himself and the entire congregation. All of the people of Judah and all of those who came to join with them. They rejoiced. They celebrated in the blessing of God, because they were doing what God called them to do. And as such, they resolved in a covenant promise to serve with their whole heart the God of the Bible. And we need to be resolved to serve the Lord with every fiber of our being. Not just on Sunday morning, but each and every day, each and every moment of our lives, to be the ambassadors for the kingdom that we're called to be the salt and light of the earth that he wants us to be. And we, like Asa, can be assured of the blessing and the presence of God if we surrender to his will, and by his grace, by his strength, we do that which he has called us to do. They resolved to serve God. They celebrated. And though the sacrifices that are described here, the 700 sheep and or the 700 oxen and the 7,000 sheep, were not nearly of the scale that David and Solomon had sacrificed in their worship of the Lord, nevertheless, this is a significant offering. It was taken from the spoil of the results of the victory over the Ethiopians, and it demonstrated their acknowledgement of God's power and God's presence in their defense, in delivering them from the danger of a great military defeat from a vastly superior number of enemy. God had shown them the victory. God had demonstrated his power and his presence with Asa and the kingdom of Judah. They resolved to serve God with their whole heart. And we too need to strive to do that which God has called us to do, to surrender to his will, to serve him as we ought, and thus to experience the promised blessing of Almighty God. He promises that he will direct our steps. We purpose in our hearts what direction we should go, but it is the power of God which directs our steps. It's his sustaining grace which enables us to succeed in those efforts that we do for him. And when we are faithful, he manifests his presence and his strength in our midst. He encourages us in those dark times. He heals our diseases and our weaknesses. He strengthens us and empowers us to do that which he has called us to do. He tells us not to despise the day of small things. He tells us that Where two or three are gathered together, there he is in our midst. And thus we can be confident. We can be assured that if we go to him in prayer, whatsoever we ask according to his name, by his authority, by his word, he will grant it. Your work shall be rewarded. And this is a principle not only in the natural and the material realm. Paul told the Corinthians that often referenced promise or the statement of reality, that it's first the natural and then the spiritual. All of these historical events that we read in the pages of the Old Testament scriptures have an underlying theological principle, an application which must be translated through the illuminating power of the Spirit of God into that spiritual life which we live, that spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. Asa recognized the need to turn to God when he faced the invading Ethiopian army. But we face temptations and trials and wickedness that seems to creep in on every side. And we live in a day where we're told that evil men will wax worse and worse. Things look darker and bleaker. It's often lamented that how could things get this bad so quickly? But they get bad when people forget God. And they deteriorate when we undermine that foundation of the Word of God, which is guaranteed to be our sure rock and our refuge. The governments and the courts of this land have thrown God out of the schools and out of government, out of the public arena. And there has been a disastrous effect upon society. And like the days of Asa, when reform was needed, the people of God need to turn back to the Lord. He promises that when we come back to him with a humble and a contrite heart, that he is faithful and just. He is able to hear us. He will heal our land. And thus we can be assured that in whatever storms we may be brought through, that our anchor holds. We sometimes sing that hymn. Though the angry surges roll o'er my tempest-driven soul, we have the confidence, we have the peace, for we know that my anchor holds. And we can be assured that as we navigate through this wilderness of this world, this fallen condition in which all of mankind has existed since the fall of Adam and Eve, a period of increasing darkness, increasing woe, increasing despair. And yet there is the glorious light, that shining promise of God, that if we look to him, there is hope, there is deliverance. Indeed, there is repentance, and there is eternal life. And as we go through the storms of this life, the trials and tribulations, which he said that even the believer shall experience. He said that in the world you will have tribulation. But in him there is peace, there is hope, there is joy, there is contentment. And he will do that which he has promised to do. As we anticipate that day when we shall meet him face to face, whether it's upon that sound of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain will be caught up in the twinkling of an eye to be forever with the Lord. We are assured that we will stand before the King, not in our own strength, not in our own goodness, but with the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that as he separates the wicked from the righteous, to those on the left he'll say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." But for those who have been faithful, for those who have done his will and done his work, there shall indeed be an eternal reward. He cautions us to store up treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth, The treasures on earth are corrupted easily by moth and rust and the thieves that break in and steal. But the heavenly treasure, that which lasts for eternity, can never be lost, can never be taken away. And to those who have lived their lives in faithful submission to the promises and to the Word of God, trusting in the atoning work of the Savior, enjoying that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thus, we are exhorted to carry on. The Lord said, "Occupy till I come." We are to be busy. We are to be diligent. We are to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. There may not be a tomorrow. But while we are here, we are challenged and we are charged with that instruction to diligently seek His word, to humbly seek His help, and to work, for the night is coming. The hymn is 728.
For the night is coming, work through the morning's hours. Work for the lamp is sparkling, work with swinging flowers. Work while the day grows brighter, under the glowing sun. Work for the night is
as it is often said by the Lord, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He expects that we obey His word. There is great joy, there is great blessing when we do so. There are consequences if we do not. And yet, we have His assurance that He will finish the work which He has begun in us. And thus we can hold fast to that glorious promise that we are indwelt by the enabling power and presence of the Spirit of God, that He'll teach us all things, that He'll make our groanings and our petitions when we don't know what to ask for, He'll make them acceptable before the throne of God. And our Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, that we might one day be with Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this time to worship You, to remember Your faithful promises, to remember the examples of those in the past who have faithfully served You. We pray again for comfort upon the Klotz family at this time. We pray for your healing hand upon Judy and upon Jeanette and upon Cecil and Buddy and others who need your strength. We thank you that we can rely upon you, the great physician, to heal and to strengthen and to comfort. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do have a bit of business this morning. We have been advised that Steve Kring and his wife Cheryl will be with us next Sunday. Steve is a Reiner cousin.